Well, it looks odds on that Paris and Los Angeles will host the 2024 and 2028 Summer Olympics. But this only comes after Hamburg, Rome, Budapest and Boston pulled their bids due to the extreme costs, leaving only the other two left. Does this mean that people are waking up to the economic black hole of hosting the Games? Andrew Zimbalist is a professor of economics at Smith College. He's also the author of Circus Maximus, which examines the economic gamble of hosting the Games. And Andrew Zimbalist joins us from the United States. And hello, Andrew. Thank you for your time.
Hello, Larry. My pleasure.
Are you surprised, Andrew, that these cities are bailing, are pulling out of hosting the Olympics?
No. In fact, there's been a trend since the year 2000 for there to be fewer and fewer candidates to host the Olympics. And as you probably remember, for the 2022 Winter Olympics, which were decided upon in 2015, there were five different European cities that were bidding at one point, and they all pulled out before the final decision was made, so that the IOC was forced to choose between two very unattractive candidates, one Beijing and the other Almaty, Kazakhstan.
So your book, Circus Maximus, give us some context around this. How big a gamble is it hosting an Olympics?
Well, these days, if you're not Sochi and you're not Beijing, you spend somewhere between $15 and $20 billion to host the Summer Olympics. The amount of revenue that comes in is on the order of $4 billion. So there's a built-in deficit of somewhere between $10 and $15 billion from hosting the Games. Now, the IOC would like to tell you that in exchange for that short-run deficit, there are long-run benefits. And they talk about increased tourism or increased foreign investment, increased foreign trade, increased participation of the residents of your country in athletics and better fitness. The problem with all of those claims is that none of them are borne out empirically. So the long-run gains that are supposedly going to happen don't happen. And in fact, very often what happens is the host city is left with a series of what are usually referred to as white elephants, venues, sports venues or stadiums or arenas that are not adequately used. And each of these venues costs maybe $5 or $10 million a year to maintain. And they're not being properly used. And they're, you know, each one might be taking up 10 or 15 or 20 acres of scarce urban real estate. So rather than there being a positive legacy, there often, very often, is a negative legacy.
As I understand it, there's been mothballed facilities in Rio, and Rio wasn't too far along. Certainly mothballed facilities in Barcelona, right?
Mothball facilities are everywhere. Some of them have more than others. Athens has a great number of them. Beijing has a great number of them. Although, you know, the Olympic Stadium, in the, what's called the Bird's Nest in Beijing from the 2008 Olympics, is now going to be used also for the opening and closing ceremonies of the 2022 Winter Olympics. But in between, the Bird's Nest has been turned into a museum, and they give tours of the Bird's Nest. They have very, very little interest. People, tourists, are not going there. They charge something like $12 for a tour, and basically the facility is open. But Rio, of course, practically the entire Olympic Village from the 2016 Summer Olympics is being unused. In the northern cluster of Deodoro, they have also many of the facilities are not being used. They had an Olympic stadium, still another cluster area, the Maracana, that was turned over to a private agency to manage, and they tried to raise ticket prices, and nobody's using that right now. And in fact, it's been vandalized. So yes, it's a major problem. Now, if a city like Los Angeles were to host the Olympic Games, because Los Angeles has a large number of professional sports teams in it, and they have a large number of college sports teams in it, they have all of the arenas and all of the stadiums they need. They don't have to build them. And if the Olympics were to come and leave, the stadiums would be used again. But in those cities where you have to build the stadiums, especially for the Olympics, then you're inevitably going to have a problem afterwards.
Right. So is that the key there, Andrew? Some cities like LA, maybe London, I don't know what the position is in Paris, they've already got the infrastructure for the stadiums in place, or they're going to build some infrastructure that will benefit the long term of the city. Are these the kind of cities that are going to end up hosting the Olympics in the future?
Well, I think so. As far as we know, there are only two cities right now that are interested in hosting the Summer Olympics, and that's Los Angeles and Paris. And that's why the IOC decided this week to award both the 24 games and the 28 games to those two cities. They don't want to go through the embarrassment of trying to hold another contest and nobody shows up to participate.
Is one of the problems here, too, that the IOC keep taking a bigger share of the cake?
That is definitely a problem. The television, the international television deals, back 30 years ago, the IOC took less than half, less than 50%. And it's gradually been whittled down to 50% to 40%. And now it's somewhere just north of 25%. And, you know, the other thing that the IOC makes the host cities do is to not tax any of the Olympic activity, either the construction activity or the Olympic Games themselves. And they make the host city take down all the advertising in the city and turn it over to the Olympics for the Olympic sponsors. So there's also a general loss in various forms of revenue that the host city suffers.
I'm sure it's not the beginning of the end, but what's the future? Just a few cities will host the Olympics in the future?
Well, I think that, yes, there are fewer and fewer cities, but I think the economic model has to change because the IOC can't continue this way. The economic model since 1896 has been throw open a competition to the cities of the world, have them go after each other to see which one produces more and fancier facilities for the IOC, and then they get the host to host the games. But that model isn't working, and so the IOC has been tinkering with the model. They have the Agenda 2020, and they've done other things, and now this week, as we just said, they hand out two Olympic Games at once. So there's going to have to be some serious modification in the model. Perhaps it will result in only one or two cities being designated as permanent hosts for the Games.
Interesting. Thank you, Andrew. That is Andrew Zimbalist, who is Professor of Economics at Smith College and author of Circus Maximus.